Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast, where we talk about Blizzard Entertainment and its many games. I'm Matt. I am hosting this week. With me are my fantastic, amazing, wonderful, stupendous, radioactively mutated by spiders co-hosts. I just went for everything. Joe Perez and Liz Harper. Joe, you can have Spider-Man. Liz, I'm just saying you're the Phoenix. This because we we're gonna not even
gonna, okay.
Are we going to be recording for next Halloween? I don't think we are. So yeah, tonight Liz is
Phoenix. Technically will be recording on Halloween.
Is that Warwatch?
Lorewatch,
no, that's this show. That's the show. Tuesday, okay. October 31st.
All right, cool. Then we'll do something then too. But yeah, Halloween. Yay. Less than a week. No, actually exactly a week. Whatever. Lots of stuff to talk about before we move on to that kind of thing, though. Liz, Joe, really great to have you. Anything you want to mention before we go on?
There's lots of stuff I could mention, but yeah, we'll just move on. It'll be another off-topic pre-show for another hour. So
yeah, we don't need that.
No.
But okay. So first up, I want to mention there's lots of stuff to talk about that I have to actually remind people because I forgot about it. But Prime Gaming's got the armored Bloodwing mount. That's new. When did they announce that? Because I don't remember them announcing this.
Just this afternoon. So probably like while you were writing our podcast email for this week, that's probably when it was announced.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a very pretty bat. I like bats. It is, however, a very evil looking bat because, you know, Diablo 4 and all that stuff. It's a WoW mount.
Not a Diablo 4 mount. It's a flying WoW mount. It does kind of look like maybe it's drooling blood or something. It's got this red glow going on.
Isn't it a red version of the mount that was from
the undead one?
Denathrius?
Maybe.
It might be.
I'm going to be upfront with you. I don't remember the Denathrius mount.
I don't think it was from anything. I think it was like the achievement for the head of the curve for him or whatever. It came with it. I think it was a bat.
Yeah. But at any rate, it is quite pretty in an evil way. In real life, I just want to stop and say this. Real life bats are adorable.
They have butt cheeks.
They're very cute and they're very friendly. They do, however, sometimes wild bats carry rain. So don't go around fondling strange bats. But still, I would absolutely love a comic book where Batman just said a lot of bat facts while he was punching people.
Listen, I love bats. We have a little bat blind in the backyard so that I can help keep the mosquito population down. And also they scare off things like skunks.
Yeah. Which is, you know, skunks are fine. They're not bad, but you know, they didn't smell good. Anyway, also whilst this mount is in the thing, it's up till November 28th. So, you know, you've got about a month, a little bit more to go get that. So yeah, you can have yourself a big red bat. There's also, however, if you're a Diablo 4 fan and you're like, why don't we get a big red bat? Your time may come, but right now what you get is 4 tier skips on the Battle Pass, which since Season 2 just came out, that's a pretty good deal. I used my one free Battle Pass for buying the game thing last Battle Pass, and I feel like I played myself, quite frankly. So this is cool. I get some tier skips in.
Overwatch's tier skip is still available as well.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys feel the same way I do about them, but at any rate, yeah, that's coming. So there's also Hearthstone, World of Warcraft, all that stuff. That's WoW's got the Bloodwing, Diablo 4's got the tier skips. Hearthstone's going to get 3 standard card packs until November 22. And the rewards, 4-pack or cards cycle through Prime Gaming regularly, as this article actually says. So you can keep checking them out and you might see newer stuff. And Joe mentioned Overwatch 2, but it's 5 tier skips on the Overwatch 2 Battle Pass. However, I think the Overwatch 2 Battle Pass is like what? Like 100 and something stuff?
I think it's 100. I have the Battle Pass, actually. I actually bought the Battle Pass for the season in Overwatch 2 because I was actually having fun now that I can play the game. Go figure. But you get levels in the Battle Pass fairly quickly. Usually like about half hour to an hour of gaming gets you at least a level, if not more. And if you're playing one of the other roles that they do the same thing that in Overwatch that they do in World of Warcraft for dungeons. If a role is needed, there is an extra incentive in order for you to play as that role. And I generally play only as support, which is always needed because nobody wants to play support still. And it just gives you like an extra like 500 or 5,000 XP, depending on how bad it is. And you go up pretty quickly. But if you're not playing one of that healer or that support character, 5 extra tier skips is at least probably a skin or something. Ooh. It's neat.
Also wanted to mention, I wanted to actually throw this one to Liz a little bit because I didn't know about it. There's a Trader's Post broom you can get this month.
For finishing the Trader's Post for October, which I feel like we've all kind of forgotten about the Trading Post. It was super hot and shiny the first couple months, and now it's kind of like, it's there, whatever. But this month, the reward for completing the Trading Post, for maxing out your Trader's Tenders for the month, is a broom mount, a permanent broom mount. Like the broom mount that you can get off the horseman, that's temporary, except this one you can have all the time and you can ride it whenever you want. During Hallow's End, it is an instant cast mount, just like the temporary broom you can get. But for the rest of the year, you still have it. You just can't use it instantly. It just casts like a regular mount. But you may live out your dreams of being an all-powerful witch riding a broom through the skies of Azeroth by finishing your Trader's Post this month, which I mentioned this to Joe and Matt, and Joe was like, oh no, I need to finish this month.
I need my broom.
I also have not finished it this month, even though I am aware of the reward. I have not made time to do the Trading Post this month.
Listen, Spider-Man's been getting a lot of my attention, okay?
There are so many games. I haven't even started Baldur's Gate, but I did finish the 110 gig download and installation. So I'm almost there, but I have to stop and do the Trading Post first because I want a broom mount. It's going to be great.
Yes, the broom mount is seductive. I myself am eyeing it and going, do I really need to be playing 3 all-devouring games? I could stop.
No, it's you don't need to, but also you kind of want to. That's the problem.
No, I meant of the 3 I'm currently playing. I could stop playing one of them and get myself back in a WoW a little early. But then it's like, it's going to be Diablo 4, and I don't want to. But anyway, as Liz mentioned, and I forgot to mention, Hallow's End has the Dragon Riding Mount still available. And that's going until November 1st, I want to say, because in addition to that Dragon Riding Mount, there's been a host of changes to Hallow's End, including like a hard mode on the Headless Horseman. And isn't the fight different now in general? Like, you don't have to hit target the head? I have not gotten to do this fight.
I have not. I've been so busy, but it's like the Headless Horseman has a complete, like, backstory about how he became the Headless. There's a whole cool story thing. They really have revamped the holiday.
It was in the comic. If you didn't read the manga, you would not know about it. It was like off in a corner. Anne wrote a Lore Watch thing about it years ago when she was still here. So yeah, it existed, but it was not. In order for you to know about it, you essentially had to be like an obsessive collector of the manga, because that it appeared in the manga and nowhere else.
But yes, it's a whole new thing. If you like me are just kind of there on holidays because you've done them 20 times, go check out Hallows Inn before it's over, because they've redone the event. There is a new hard mode. There are cool new rewards, like you can get a dragon riding mount skin with like a pumpkin. And who doesn't want that? You can use it any time of the year. And of course, also do the trading post while you're at it.
Yeah, it's weird to think about the whole, you know, dragon riding pumpkin deal. Because I was thinking about this. Have you ever noticed that like zoos love to have to give big cats pumpkins?
Yes.
So I'm thinking, like, I can just imagine a bunch of dragons like going, what is this for? What is this? Oh, it's kind of fun. It's spongy. I can get my claws into it.
It's enrichment, okay? It's enrichment.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, you know, they're mighty dragons, and so they're, you know, super intelligent and all that. So they're aware that this thing is working on them. But nevertheless, it's right there, and it's a pumpkin. That whole thing is really... and I love the fact that they actually did manage to get that horseman revamp in. Because they were talking about that when they did the, here's our year schedule. They have managed to do their entire schedule so far. I can't think of anything they just straight up didn't do. You know what I mean? Like, some of it may have not been exactly what people expected, but that schedule that they put out at the beginning of the year has basically just all happened.
Yeah, it's a little crazy how much they've gotten done this year. And in fact, it's kind of exhausting.
Yeah, and a little worrisome, because I remember Siege of Orgrimmar, or as I like to call it, slamming into the brick wall at the end of the high-speed car chase that is Mists of Pandaria. Because Mists of Pandaria was similar to this in that the content was coming thick and fast. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like,
Until
Siege of Orgrimmar, boom, you drove the car right into that thing. And afterwards you were like, oh, my car's ruined, and I have no limbs. What happened? Well, you better go back into Siege of Orgrimmar. Oh, my God, how long have we been here? 18 months, I think? Like, oh, God. Yeah, so I am terrified that we're going to get to BlizzCon and we're going to have nothing. But I don't think that's going to be. And we should probably talk about that. Because BlizzCon's November 3rd, which is, as Sadiq just pointed out, Tuesday next week is October 31st, which means that Friday of that week is November 3rd. So that's when BlizzCon happens. It's going to be Friday and Saturday, right? That's usually what it is.
Yeah. And also happening at the same time is Warcraft Rumble will be released on November 3rd on Friday. So I guess you're downloading that at BlizzCon while you're waiting in line over the terrible cellular service, hopefully.
Good luck to you all, because you're going to need. That's not going to be. Here's hoping that they...
Hotel Wi-Fi exists, folks.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they surprise us. Like, it turns out that the Coliseum, you know, the Anaheim Convention Center is like somehow been hooked up with a brand new system and people can download. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing is like there are literally cell towers on top of the Anaheim Convention Center. It's just too many people.
It's so many people in such a small space, and of course, the Anaheim Convention Center is right next door to Disneyland, and it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, I would. I just remember the line. The line trying to get to Diablo 3. I mean, Diablo 4. Diablo 4
I
test.
I can imagine.
It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I'd been to like stadium rock, sold out stadium rock shows that had like better, like less terrifying lines than that Diablo 4 demo. It was at one point I honestly had to turn and hiss at a man because he kept bumping into me with his bag. I just had to go and go. And then he backed off, and I was like, good. I have to actually say English. That would. But yeah, that's going to be fun. Also, we've now got kind of a floor plan of what the Anaheim Convention Center is going to look like for BlizzCon. I was interested to see that they're putting all the Warcraft stuff on one stage. Warcraft Rumble, Hearthstone, and World of Warcraft are all on one stage, if I'm not incorrect. You're saying I'm so quiet.
I don't know how anyone is going to interpret the noises I'm making, except I It's like all of the main panels are not going to be. So they've given us a map of the halls and told us what's in different halls. So Hall A is all Diablo. Hall B is the Overwatch World Cup. Hall C is all Overwatch 2. And Hall D is World of Warcraft, Warcraft Rumble, Hearthstone, and the Dark Moon Fair, which is kind of experiences and cool stuff that's just on the convention floor. And then there's also the BlizzCon Arena, which is where they're going to be hosting all of the main panels on all of their topics. Opening ceremony, closing ceremony, all of the deep dive panels are going to be in the arena. And then it's just the rest of the convention center is divided into segments. And World of Warcraft actually has a pretty small part of the convention center, like a quarter of what Overwatch has between the Overwatch 2 section and the Overwatch World Cup section, half of what Diablo has. So I don't know what to think about this. I don't know how to respond emotionally to this information.
Well, I mean, the Diablo place is actually doing all Diablo games. They're gonna have a Diablo Immortal things. They're even gonna have a retrospective on Diablo. So
yeah. I'm sure they're gonna have Diablo Immortal, Diablo 2, maybe even Diablo 3. Maybe we'll hear a little more about the next Diablo 3 season.
Yeah, but at the least it's gonna be some D2 stuff, some D4 stuff, and some
Immortal. Yeah.
So it is
of course.
Yeah, but it's still weird to see World of Warcraft basically be part like a wedge in this
floor plan. That's not just World of Warcraft, that's World of Warcraft and Warcraft Classic. So you know, that's a small portion of the convention center for two fairly large games. And you've just been talking about how World of Warcraft has just had the craziest development year, putting out so much content. I'm a little exhausted of the amount of content they're putting out. I have trouble keeping up. I can't imagine how the developers are feeling right now. And then they have a pretty tiny space on the show floor. So I don't know. I wonder what's going on. What are we announcing? Yeah, it just seems BlizzCon in the past has really been, World of Warcraft has been a big showpiece. And it feels like this year, maybe it's not the biggest showpiece. I mean, it looks like we're getting a lot more Overwatch 2, a lot more Diablo. So, I mean, I'm cool about a lot more Diablo. I am having so much fun right now. But it does feel like World of Warcraft is taking a little bit of a backseat. Of course, we do not have a schedule for the convention yet. We don't know exactly what's going to be announced. We just have a floor plan and a little detail on what's in each of these locations. And it's just, I don't know, but I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that after like 20-something years of people continuously predicting the death of World of Warcraft, that, you know, it might just be that World of Warcraft doesn't even die. It just sort of gets, you know, lumped in with every other Warcraft thing.
Like, which is interesting. Yeah, I don't think it's something that people should be necessarily worried about. I think it's just, World of Warcraft has been such a big part of BlizzCon that in a lot of cases it tends to overshadow the other games.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And for, like, realistically looking at it, over the last several years, when has there really been a game to like that demands as much attention as World of Warcraft? And now we have at least two, right? Diablo 4 by itself is a game that has been much anticipated for a very, very long time. You know, it's available now. Now they can talk about stuff in a way that they weren't able to do before. Overwatch 2 has released, and that's always been a big thing with them because it is the de facto esports title for Blizzard at this point. Arenas aren't really pushed as an esports anymore. I can understand where there's some attention elsewhere.
Of course, Overwatch is their de facto esports thing because they killed off StarCraft. They killed off Heroes of the Storm. It's like, this is only your biggest esports thing because you murdered all of your other esports things.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer gently ex-lived them.
It seems at least the enthusiasm levels I see for different Blizzard games, the excitement levels, having, you know, half of your convention center space, almost half of your convention center space be devoted to Overwatch 2. Seems a little strange because, yeah, the PvP area is all Overwatch World Cup, and then Overwatch 2 has a hall all by itself. It seems like a lot of Overwatch, and maybe I'm just surrounded by players who are really hyped about getting this story mode, this PvE story mode, and when it was announced, kind of everyone I know was pretty bummed out about Overwatch 2. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we will have to. And it will not be very long.
Yeah.
It will not be very long. It's like 2 weeks, which is like, you know, no panic here from us at Blizzard Watch because, you know, oh, my God, it's in two weeks.
It's less than 2 weeks. And I am. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's all going to be fine.
But we should also mention that the patch 10.2, the Guardians of the Dream patch, is launching on November 7th. So literally after you get home from or, you know, recover from watching the BlizzCon 2023, you'll have like a couple of days and then, you know, new patch. So, yeah. Also, remember, we were talking about the speed of delivery and this is, you know,
it's yet another nuts.
Example of it. I believe the last patch just came out in like September, didn't it?
It feels like yesterday, but yes, it was September, which September is actually almost a month ago now.
Yes. And yeah, that's why this is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, that's happening and that's pretty amazing. Diablo 4, we mentioned earlier, the Season of Blood is now out. And I certainly think it's fun. Liz seems to be enjoying it. I don't know if, Joe, you've been playing a lot of Overwatch 2. I don't know if you've had time for Diablo 4.
Honestly, I have had no time for Diablo 4, sadly.
Yeah. But, I mean, one of the things I really liked is that they did do a lot of balance changes. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I do feel a little nerfed. But the blood powers are crazy.
Oh, they're so great.
They're just wild. I freely admit I don't understand what I'm doing. Like, I no idea what's going on. I don't die, and I got bit by a vampire. And yeah, apparently the blood of Lilith makes vampire stuff go haywire. So if someone force fed you the blood of Lilith beforehand, like say Lilith, then you get bit by a vampire. The vampire thing doesn't quite work out the way the vampires intend. That's just a thing. You know.
Who knew?
But there is actually a lot of interesting lore connecting vampires to the Nephilim and the ancients in this. I haven't gotten through all of it yet, but yeah, it is an interesting season, this one. I'm hoping it will feel more consequential as a story than the last one.
So I have a question for you, Matt. You actually wrote a post, I'm pretty sure it was at my request, about how slow the leveling feels in Diablo 4 prior to this patch 1.2 and the Season of Blood rolling out. How do you think leveling feels now?
It's better. It's still too slow, but it's better. I feel like you can't criticize something when there is a positive to it unless you mention the positive to when you're criticizing it. And so I will say it does feel better. I would say it feels 50% better. But it was bad enough that 50% better is still bad. I got to like level 10 in like a half hour.
Yeah.
But then at level 10, the gears start to slip and it's like, okay, we're getting slower. I think I'm at level 20-ish now.
Because
I've been playing other games too.
Yeah. And there are so many games. We've just been talking about that.
At level 20, I feel like I really am starting to feel a precipitous drop coming. I haven't gotten past 20 despite doing a fair amount of gameplay yesterday in it. So I do feel like it's good. They made good changes. They did. It's right that they did it. They should do it more. It needs to be faster than this. It doesn't need to, like, I don't need to be like level 100 already. I'm not saying I should be like max level already after like a week and a half. I'm saying it definitely doesn't feel smooth yet. It doesn't feel like it's just the way things should be. There's a lot of times where I still felt like, oh, I have to stop and do some other quests to get more XP before I continue on with this whole journey of finding out what the vampires did to me, because I'm going to get destroyed if I go in that area. Like at one point, like after you're doing the first couple of blood things, you're heading into like a level 30 area. Like the creatures and stuff are all like super hard and you're like still not quite level 15 yet. I hadn't even gotten my barbarian quest yet. You know, the one where you unlock your expertise.
Yeah.
I haven't got that yet. And I'm confronting the blood vampire lord who's behind everything. I'm like, I don't even have all my normal powers yet. luckily, that's when you get your first vampire power. And it's for barbarians, it's
which helps.
Yeah. It does help. For barbarians, it's you don't die. Nothing can kill you, apparently.
I mean,
it's not true. Stuff can kill you, but it is significantly harder to kill you than it was. So, that is an interesting one.
I mean, as a necromancer, nothing can kill me. So, I've died, I'm level 49 and I've died once, and it was because there's some sort of bug where a boss becomes invincible if it's attacked by minions, and I have 13 minions. Yeah. So
Oops. that's a bit of a spec room.
Thank goodness I'm not playing on hardcore. I would be upset. I would be like, why was his health not dropping? I was okay, but his health would never drop.
Yeah.
But I feel like leveling is a whole lot faster. I feel like it's wildly faster than it used to be, but I do want to reserve judgment until I get a little higher, because I felt like you hit level 50 and you move into world tier 3 and then it feels pretty good for a little while. This is how it felt in season 1. I'm not talking about now because I'm not quite high enough. So you move into world tier 3 and it felt good for a little bit because everything's scaled up. But then as you level up, the more you level up, the slower it gets, because previously in different world tiers, mobs only scaled up to a certain level. And so after a while,
that's a really nice change that they made.
Yes, they changed that so things will not get far behind you. But as it was previously, you would out-level things, and you get much less experience for killing mobs that are under your level, as opposed to when you first upgrade to a new world tier, you may be killing things that are 5 levels above you, 10 levels above you, and you're getting more XP for that. So it really felt like once you got to level 60, like it was a terrible grind until you got to maybe 70 and could unlock the world tier 4. And then you got to like level 75 and it started feeling like a terrible grind again.
Yeah, so, like I remember it, like at level 85, I was literally just running, the dungeons,
nightmare dungeons,
just running nightmares over and over and over again.
That was basically all you could do long term, because that's the only thing that would scale.
Yeah,
because other world content, the game has. We've talked, all of us, about how amazing the world of Sanctuary is in Diablo 4. How beautiful! How all of the side quests are so interesting, the characters, but you can't go out in the world at high levels. You can't finish your side quests. You can't go out and do events because nothing scales with you. And now everything will keep scaling with you at every world tier. Events are crazy. Doing Legion events, crazy experience. Always get legendaries.
That's something I should have thought about. I have not gotten to do any events yet.
You should go do Legion events. They happen much more frequently than they used to. I got my first legendary at level 6 from a Legion event. So definitely do those. If you're leveling in Diablo 4, the first thing you should do, if you see a Legion event on your map, go there, do that event, because it's going to give you crazy XP and good loot. And then the new blood harvest zones are really great. Not only do you get potent blood to fuel your new vampiric abilities and be a better super vampire hunter vampire thing. I don't know. I don't know what you are, but you're slightly vampiric, I guess. But they're also super dense with mobs. They're also dense with other players. And if you are near other players, you get a group bonus. And also they'll help you kill things, probably, unless they're teaming up with the vampires, which is not cool. Super not cool. But you can get so much experience in those levels. You can also level up your vampiric powers, and it's just, you can do that from level 1. There's a lot going on that makes leveling faster. So I'm just curious to see how it's going to work once I get past level 50 into those leveling zones that were very hard previously.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet.
Also should mention, we're currently in the middle of a big four week season of Blood Twitch drops that we should mention. Last week's was week 1. That was the Orichalcum blade. It was like a one-handed blade. That's over. Starting today, October 24th, as we're recording this, obviously, if you're listening to it, it'll be in the past. But the Orichalcum mallet transmog for barbarians and druids is available. That's this week. Next week, barbarians and necromancers will get the Orichalcum greatsword cosmetic. That will begin on October 31st. That'll be Halloween. That's that week. And then on November 6th, the druids get the Orichalcum quarterstaff transmog. So they have a week all to themselves, and they get that transmog at that time. It's the usual Twitch drop business. You watch, I again believe it's 6 hours of Twitch content about Diablo 4, and you get the drop. So, and somebody just fell.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, drop something. It's fine. It's
as long as you're okay, probably. Because I'm worried. That's happening.
As okay as I ever.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, are you going to read the emails or am I reading them? Or are you even here?
That's your choice. It is. You are the poobah of this podcast.
I'm going to say you should read them.
All right. I will go ahead if you want to give the intro, or do you want me to do the intro?
I'll do it. So, yeah, guys, we're moving on into questions because we've covered pretty much everything. If you have a question for the podcast, you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com, subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. You can also go to our Discord. We've got two channels in Discord. Non-patrons can go to the Q and Podcast Questions channel, and you can ask questions in there. Or, if you'd rather, you can go to the – if you are a patron. Sorry. If you're not a patron, we still love you. Don't worry. But patrons do help us pay the bills and keep us able to do the show. So as a reward, one of the things they get is we check there first for questions because we want to make sure people who ask questions and are paying to keep the lights on get them answered. That's the podcast. That's the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. And we love both of you, but unfortunately, finances would but yeah. Joe, go ahead.
All right. Our first question. Back in the 90s, 1991, I think, DC Comics did a big comic event called Armageddon 2001, where a naked gold dude named Wave Rider came back in time to find and kill whichever superhero turned into an all-powerful tyrant monarch by the year 2001. Since Monarch had erased the historical record, and I guess also made everyone who saw him into unalived,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
10 years is a really short time for people to forget who the maniac who took over the world is. He had to check each superhero, and sometimes, if the superhero had more than one ongoing title, he had to check them a few times, like Batman. Do you guys think the final raid of Dragonflight is going to be the Assault on Emerald Dream? Thanks a lot. Paste Pot Pete. That is... I love this question because of that statement opening. Thank you so much, Pete. What's weird is I have like a fever dream memory of what he's referencing to. I do actually, I'm starting to think that the final raid of Dragonflight will be the Assault on the Emerald Dream. I don't have any indication or reason to believe that we're going to have raid content beyond that. We may have other content. There may be other things that happen after that, but I do not believe it will be raid content. What about you, Liz? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know if this is a reasonable thing, but I am holding out hope for patch 10.3, in which we will learn that it was nothing that we thought, and actually old gods are behind it all, and we're going to go fight like Yogg-Saron again, because Yogg-Saron is back, because that's just how things happen on Azeroth. Something goes wrong, we go after the threat, we think this is the threat for the entire expansion, and then in the last patch of the expansion, we pivot, actually it's this other threat, and there's like a 99% chance that it involves an old god. So I'm waiting for the old god patch. I want to say it's coming, but we also have had short expansions recently with fewer big patches. So I don't know how reasonable my theory is, but I am holding on to hope for a patch 10.3, which would be a major content patch with another raid tier, in which we go fight an old god, probably, because that's how it works. That's what Blizzard has taught me.
Matt?
I feel like I'm between you guys, like, because I don't think that I don't think 10.2 is the last raid content we're going to get, but I think the next raid content we get is going to be like a one or two boss intro thing that will be like the pre-Cataclysm Ruby Sanctum raid, where it just sets up the next expansion. So I don't think it's going to be...
I'm not including faded raids either, by the way.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I just literally think it'll be like, you know, we've discovered something. Eridacron's done something. Go to this place. And what? Murky?
Oh, that's it. We're all going to Azmerloth.
No, this time, actually, Azmerloth invades Azeroth. And they're trying to make sure that Azmerloth takes over Azeroth. So it's like, it's actually the original, like, Warcraft story, but with Azmerloth.
Will they be led by a Murloc version of an old god?
But I mean, would you know? I mean, it's a giant Murloc. That Murloc has tentacles. Okay. does that really affect it that much? I mean, it's a giant fish monster in the first place. I don't know. But yeah, Azmerloth is coming. In all sincerity, I don't know what they're going to do, but I do think it's going to be much more along the lines of a short, maybe one or two encounter raid to give people a little bit more to do and set up what's coming. I don't think it's going to be like, if 10.3 exists, it's going to be less. I don't think they'll do 10.3. I think they'll do like 10.2.5 and 10.2.7. And one of those, probably 10.2.7, is going to be the setup patch. And then the next patch will be 11.0. Yeah, again, 11.01, whatever. I just think that's how it's going to work. That's
fair.
But now I really wish he'd actually mentioned the part about Armageddon 2001 that's important to me.
So go for it.
Well, no, it's just that the reason that Armageddon 2001 is important to me is because DC Comics had to change the story in the middle of it. Like, while they were still not quite done publishing it, because somebody leaked the ending of the story on the like forums. This was like at the time where forums were pretty much the only internet stuff there was for you. Someone leaked that Captain Atom was Monarch. And that made sense, because if you need a guy who's powerful enough to kill Superman and all the Justice League, and Captain Atom's one of the few guys you can put in that group. Like, you know, plus he's a Charlton character who never really found a place in DC, despite the best efforts of some really good creators, including Greg Wiseman from Gargoyles. So yeah, it made sense.
Because I was gonna say, the only ones that are more powerful than Captain Atom that I can think of off the top of my head were like Dr. Manhattan, who I don't think was folded into DC at that point yet.
He wasn't, no. And he's basically just an XB of Captain Atom anyway.
Yeah. And then you had Teth Atom, which I refuse to call him the other name.
He would have gone down like nothing. If Superman can beat him up, then yeah, he wouldn't have had a chance.
The only other person I can think of,
I would say Firestorm. Because Firestorm is actually crazy powerful if you actually think about his powers.
Did Firestorm exist at that point?
Oh, no. He was dead. but, you know. But that's the thing. It's like, they had to change it, and they replaced him with Hawk from Hawk and Dove. And it's like, you're telling me that Batman was defeated by the guy whose entire superpower is he's really mad, and he doesn't get anything from it? He doesn't get any powers or anything? That's what you're telling me? Okay. Sure. And I just always felt bad for them, because they couldn't tell the story they wanted to tell because someone leaked it on the forums and the editorial, you know, people at DC freaked out and were like, quickly change it to Hawk. And so now they had Captain Atom still hanging around, and he's like, I really feel like I'm supposed to be doing something important right now. Like being the major villain for a series of stories that would span the next few years of DC Comics. And meanwhile, Hawk is like, I just wanted to punch criminals. What happened? So yeah, that's the thing that I find.
With my brother and or girlfriend. I can't remember which we're at this point.
It was his girlfriend at that point.
Yeah. All right. But I hopefully that answers your question, Pasta Pot Pete. We're going to move on to the next one, I think, unless either of you have anything else to add.
No.
All right. Our friend Ted Semi asks, best in-game WoW holiday. I don't have an answer for this. I don't generally participate in WoW holidays anymore. They've sort of lost all of their appeal. So I'll let you guys answer. Liz, what do you think?
Hallow's End. I dig the vibe, even if I'm not participating. I mean, I don't usually go all out to participate, but you got a vibe. probably the biggest thing I like about WoW Holidays is it changes the world around you. Everyone gets into it. Everyone decorates. Even usually people in the new zones who have maybe never heard of this holiday before. It's like, oh, it's Hallow's End. I'm going to throw up the decorations. I love seeing the pumpkins everywhere. I go trick-or-treating, even though I don't need anything any of the vendors offer. So I'm just vibing over here. I like the atmosphere.
Matt?
Do you guys remember when we were all playing World of Warcraft and our servers would suddenly just spam us with "the ice stone has melted" over and over again? I have never gotten over that. And it has begun in me a weird sort of, I hate this, and yet I can't stop thinking about it.
It's the Ronin of holidays.
Yeah. The Midsummer Nights, the Midsummer Fire Festival is just one of those holidays that has stuck like I recently had a broken tooth I had to yank out of my own mouth. And it's like that. I constantly have to worry at this tooth. I have to worry at the Midsummer Fire Festival. What's the deal with the Ahun? What is he an elemental of? Is he a water elemental? Because he seems like, yeah, he could be, but he's also frozen. Like, that's weird. Like, what's going on? Why did they think Ahun could kill Ragnaros?
He's a Frost Lord in service to Neptulon. He was one of his generals.
But is he really, like, so what? Why could he kill Ragnaros? Ragnaros is one of the more powerful of the four.
Because he's a weird combination of ice and stone, I guess. I don't know.
It was just, every time I would think about it, I would go in, like, why were there Naga involved in summoning it? What was the deal with, like, the ice stone? Where did you get it? Like, I can't stop thinking about the Midsummer Fire Festival every year.
Oh, wait, he wasn't. Sorry, so this is lore stuff, but I just remembered. He wasn't supposed to beat Ragnaros. He was just supposed to start a war.
Yeah, but it was just like, why, you know, isn't he just going to get melted? I mean, I don't know. I just remember the other thing I thought was fascinating was the ice stone itself. Or when you went, the first time I did the Midsummer Fire Festival, not just because there was the ice stone is melted, just happening constantly. But also, when I first turned in the first wood thing to the fire, and the little fire elemental who'd been there the whole time, just being a fire elemental hanging out and going, yeah, fire's cool, suddenly turned into Ragnaros and was screaming at me about how he's going to purge me. And then he was right back down to being a little fire elemental again. And I was like, what was that about purging me? I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a fire elemental. I am friendly. I swear to you turned into a giant, you know, that didn't happen. I'm a fire elemental. I am friendly. Ragnaros does not have legs. If anyone's told you Ragnaros has legs, that's a lie. We don't know that he has legs yet. That's too expensive in the future. Then we're fine, aren't we? Anyway, just a fire elemental. It's like a knife. And they didn't use any of the lore in Cataclysm or Legion or even more recently. Like, there's all this lore about Ahun, and all, it's like, why didn't Ahun ever show up again? Why? What's he doing? What happened with the ice stone? It's my favorite in that it is the one I think about the most. I honestly like a lot of them better. Like, I honestly think Brewfest is still pretty fun. It's just fun to go get your character really, really drunk and ride around on a Kodo. This is fun for me. I went and got the Kodo on both Horde and Alliance, so I can ride a Kodo as Alliance or I can ride a Kodo as Horde. I like a lot of the holidays, but the Midsummer Fire Festival just sticks in my head. I can't get it out.
I think most of my stuff with holidays is just I have good memories with holidays, like not necessarily because of the holiday itself, but because of the people I was doing it with. Like, I have funny stories revolving around all the different things. Like, my partner has a picture of during Cataclysm. Was it Cataclysm? No, it was Legion. Where, you know, there was that thing where you go to talk to the Naru, and I can't remember the Naru's name. It was like Adele or something like that. And, like, you're floating in space. Well, Raids had turned them into a turkey right before that. Because it was right during that time frame. And so, like, there's a screenshot of this turkey, this celestial turkey in shadow form, floating in space, chatting with a Naru. Like, stuff like that, I think, is really funny. Because, like, there's some cool stuff that happens. Or when we randomly had a reindeer party where we just ran around It was Stormwind at the time. No, it was Dalaran. Everybody had used like the preserved mistletoe to turn their mount into essentially Rudolph, and just walked around like the elephant walk for like 3 hours, because that's a thing that randomly happens. It still happens in WoW now. Like, you can actually get like parades started inside of the main city now, which is, you know, we did that one day because we were bored. But like, I have memories that are tied with those, not necessarily because of the event itself. And it's not to say that they were bad. When they were brand new, it was cutting edge, because games didn't do anything for holidays. And if they did, mm-hmm. it was minimal at best. It was maybe changing a couple set dressings. Maybe you got a different texture or something to play around with, and that was it. And WoW sort of changed what games do for holidays in general, and I will always appreciate that. But after 20 some odd years of playing this game, essentially, I've kind of seen it and done it all. I guess I remember when Talk Like a Pirate Day became an official holiday in WoW, and it was like the biggest thing, and Booty Bay would crash your computer because there were so many character models that were trying to load, and like the client would just sputter out and fail. So, all right. Anything else to add to that one? All right. We're going to go ahead and move on. This one is a whole lot of hops, and I'm not about to do all of this because I can hear it in my head.
Yeah, I actually asked her questions on an old comic play. Still go to me. Sorry.
No, that's okay. But it was the question from Ostensibly Hop is, what are you guys most looking forward to about BlizzCon this year? So I think that is actually a good question. Like, is there something that you are looking forward to the most? Liz?
The Diablo expansion. I want to know, we had all of these promises that you would get lots of story in seasons that I was super excited for. And we've gotten less story in seasons than I hoped for, than I expected. The first season was specifically very little story. And the second season is a lot better, but it's still, you know, less than I expected. The Diablo team has clarified that it's going to be expansions that are really going to drive the main story forward, and seasons are just going to be little side things here and there. So I want to know where Diablo 4 is going from here. I want to know about the next expansion, and I am 100% positive they're going to be announcing.
Matt?
Well, I mean, that she just said. but since I can't do that, I'm curious to find out if we get a WoW expansion announcement and what it would be. And for that matter, will that mean that 10.2 is the last major content patch? I am really curious. I want to know if Blizzard can continue doing this. You know, here's a whole year. And this would be unusual in that it would basically be, if they're doing an announcement here and 10.2 is the end, then how long are we going to be in 10.2? Like, are we going to get a 10.2.5 and a 10.2.7? Will that tide us over? Will they have to give us faded raids? What are they going to do to get us, you know, over the hump of, here we are, we've done this, and now you've got at least 6 months before you get to see the next expansion? Because we haven't had a sick wait for content for 6 months since 2022. Mm-hmm. Like, this year has been 2 months, boom, new content, like clockwork. So, yeah, I am curious to see what World of Warcraft does next. I want to know, like, do they have an expansion ready to announce? What is it going to be if they do? What are they going to do about content drought? Because so far they've been doing amazing. What are they going to do to keep that from happening? That's where I am. That's the stuff I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, right? Like, and I can't remember, did they scrap the survival game that they were working on?
They have not scrapped it. We just have not heard a peep about it.
I'm kind of interested if we'll hear anything about it, because it's been a couple years at this point. And survival games are still very popular. I'd be interested to see what they have cooking up for it. That's sort of like a pipe dream. The WoW stuff I'm really, really curious about, because we talked about this regularly. There's other games out there that release content at incredibly regular intervals that don't necessarily require an expansion. And I'm curious if we're going to transition into a period where WoW starts doing something like that in the interim. So instead of having complete dead downtime, little things keep getting added at a more regular intervals, or, you know, something to sort of prod you along and propel you towards the next expansion. And then the expansion releases with a big suite of changes or whatever the case is. And I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. I know that's an incredible amount of work, and I'm not going to downplay that. But I'm curious to see what the plan is for the interim. End of expansions are always weird. Guilds tend to, I don't want to say fall apart, but that's usually the time where they do, is the lull between content. People stop playing. Maybe they'll come back for the next expansion. Maybe they won't. It's an obvious break point. And it does, as a result, I'm very confident that player engagement metrics are in the gutter during that time frame. So from a business standpoint, from a game standpoint, from a player standpoint, I'm curious if we're going to see them start to try to address that moving through this expansion. Because this expansion has done a lot of really wonderful things content-wise. Has done a lot of things to keep you engaged and give you a ton of things. Seeing maybe some of that was testing the water on other things. Like we talked about dragon riding being in other places. Maybe that's something that gets released. Maybe Emerald Dream expands a little bit and you start to go other places in the dream. I don't know. There's a ton of things that you could do with it. I just don't know that they will do with it. And I'm hoping that maybe we'll get sort of an inkling of it at BlizzCon this year. Any further thoughts?
No, I think you did a good job there. I'm very happy with what we said.
Yay, go us. All right, this next one comes from 6K, who has, with this question, earned the fact that I'm not healing him next expansion. or next tier. 6K, is it just me, or have we done surprisingly little dragon riding from an expansion labeled Dragonflight? I mean, yes, we have our dragons and our dragon races, but part of me wonders if it's all been a little bit underused overall and in context of the story. All I'm saying is that to do anything, crafting, pet battles, transmog, should require a 7-minute airborne dogfight. No.
I'm going to point out first off, the pitch is not called Dragonflight with a space in it. It's Dragonflight, all one word.
Yes.
That's a flight of dragons. Just like we have a Parliament of Owls. Like, you wouldn't call, well, this game
and a murder of crows.
Parliament. Yeah, you know, crow murder. Like, why we don't kill enough crows in crow murder? Because it's about a murder of crows. Ah!
Although I will say that I maybe expected a little bit more with the dragon riding being utilized for certain things. Dragon riding is a really cool feature if you turn off motion blur for some people. I really like it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a really, really elegant solution to, you know, not have regular flight in expansion. Like, this is the first expansion I have not missed regular flight outside of taking screenshots. And that's it. Like, that's the only thing I miss it for, is taking the odd screenshot. But like, it's also the first expansion that was designed with flight in mind from the very beginning. And it shows, like, everything feels really, really natural. I like dragon races. I think they're really neat. I loved the Nakund offensive dungeon. I thought that was really, really cool. I like the idea of getting on your dragon riding mount and going from place to place in a dungeon that is ostensibly the size of a zone, which is really cool when you think about it. And I don't think anybody's talked about that nearly enough. But then we didn't really do anything else with it so far. I figured we would have seen a raid encounter with it so far, which I haven't really looked at the next tier, and I don't know if there's something that utilizes
We're
it.
We're seeing a raid encounter with it.
There you go.
I got to say, some of your guildmates are a little anxious about that one.
They are, which I'm sure, and people are.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like everything else, we will make it work, right? Like, we'll find our way through it. I'm confident we will. But yeah, I like dragon riding in general, and I hope it's a feature that sticks around. All right, you're up. Let's go.
I mean, I don't. I think dragon riding has one major problem that makes it difficult to make it super core to the game, and that is accessibility. You have some people who, even with accessibility options, have difficulty controlling dragons, that have motion sickness caused by dragons, and if you have trouble dragon riding, it's already very difficult to play this expansion. You have no access to flying. You have no access to a lot of content that's at higher altitudes. And if you struggle with dragon riding, you're going to struggle doing a lot of content. For as far as accessibility with dragon riding goes, Blizzard has kind of just added a couple of features. They've added things to reduce the camera blur, which does help some people. And they've added a ride-along feature where you can just ride along with someone else instead of riding your own dragon mount and having to do that control. But there still hasn't been really a good solution for people who struggle with this. And there are people who struggle with this. So I think dragon riding is very fun, but it is also, it can be very difficult for different people. And if you really pushed that in an expansion, if you push this as six, I know you're listening. I know you're, I hope you're joking with us. Pretty sure you're joking. But if you push this as a core must-have feature, have to do dragon riding for everything. Oh, we have a dragon riding transmog encounter. Oh, all of our dragon riding encounters are in raids. You know, that's going to put a lot of people out of the content because dragon riding is a type of thing that not everyone enjoys and not everyone can do. And I think the game has kind of suffered for that in this expansion because on one hand, it put dragon riding center stage of the expansion. This is one of the most exciting features they've rolled out. But on the other hand, they've kind of had to minimize it because it's still not accessible to certain groups of people. They've had to add workarounds and other options, and there's still content that's just really locked behind dragon riding. So I think it's a difficult balance because you need to have a feature that's accessible to different people who may not, you know, be super Twitch gamers, who may not have the ability to control something with that kind of speed and precision. Or have vision issues, or get motion sickness. Because there are a lot of different reasons why controlling a dragon riding mount might be difficult for you. So, on one hand, Blizzard can't make that game. You know, during the pre-show, we were talking about developers being able to make the games they want. I think, in a way, Blizzard has been prevented from doing this thing that's fully focused on this cool fantasy of riding a dragon because they haven't been able to make the feature completely accessible to the entire player base. And I mean, that's a difficult position to be in, but I think it means we can't see dragon riding everywhere. We won't see dragon riding everywhere, which is a shame because it's really cool, but it's also, man, it's super frustrating because it can be really difficult. And I have a lot of friends who just don't like dragon riding or have a lot of trouble with dragon riding. So that's all I got. That's all I got.
Matt?
It's not dragon flight. It's dragon flight. It's one word. This is important. I'm taking no further questions. It's dragon flight. One word. I honestly don't really. I liked dragon flight fine. Dragon riding fine. I liked it exactly as much as. Like, I felt I liked it exactly as much as it needed to be liked. Like, I didn't hate doing it. I didn't feel particularly bad about it. I felt like I got pretty good at it. And then I didn't have to engage in it that much more than that. It got me from point A to point B most of the time. And I've said it before, one of the things I love in games like World of Warcraft is any content that you don't have to engage with much. Like stuff that you can absolutely engage with it like a crazy person, like transmog, or you can completely ignore it. In my case, pet battles. But it's fun content, and it's content that doesn't have to be fun for you. You can ignore it. You cannot deal with it. Dragon riding isn't quite to that gold standard because you do have to engage with it. There's very little way of doing dragon flight as an experience without doing dragon riding. If you're just walking or getting on a land mount everywhere you go, you will be at this forever. And there's places it will be very hard to get to. So you do have to engage with it to a degree, but they're really good at the balance of that engagement. I really felt like what Joe said earlier, they designed the zones in such a way that the kind of flight that dragon riding is baked into them, where there's tall places that you can get up to, and then you can dive off on your mount, and you can basically cross the whole zone because you started this really tall peak. And sometimes you can get up higher, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can't. And mm-hmm. there's just a lot of interesting stuff going on with it. So it's good, and it's it's useful enough that I feel okay with it, and I don't feel resentful of it. Because I am one of those people with bad eyes. I mean, I straight up have horrible vision. One of my eyeballs doesn't work, and the other one is like maybe at half strength and going down. I'm going blind. So I do have bad vision, and I do have a lot of trouble with that kind of thing. And I managed to get good enough at it that I didn't resent it for existing, which I think is really good design. But I certainly don't care if they don't put a raid fight in without it, with it. And the fact that they have is not making me super happy, because I don't really feel like dealing with... I don't like it when you make you get on anything. Like, all the way back in Wrath, when I had to get on a motorcycle and chase a bunch of people around trying to kill dwarves so we could blow up towers, I didn't like that. When we had to get on dragons and fight Malagos, I didn't like that either. I don't like anything like that. So I'm not going to like the dragon riding fight, but, you know, I'll figure something out, whatever. My point is just that, you know, I think that the amount of dragon riding this expansion has been the amount I pretty much wanted it to have. There's stuff like the Kalimdor race and the Eastern Kingdoms race, and they've brought more dragon riding in as time has passed. And I feel like we now know that we're getting a Pathfinder achievement in 10.2.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a good time for it. Although I probably would still use my dragon riding mounts a lot. I feel like it has been used appropriately.
Okay. Well, I think that's all of our questions.
Wow.
Yeah. So Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to our podcast, better chance of having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ad-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe, for that. And also thank you for taking over for the email so I could cough for like 12 minutes. I appreciate that. And thank you to Liz for putting up with me just being completely weird today. And just in general for being on the show and making it a good show that we both all enjoy, because I get to talk about Diablo, which is yay.
I appreciate your weirdness, Matt. We're all weird in our own special ways. And yes.
But this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here with us. And we hope to see you next week, which will be Halloween. So I don't know what we're going to do. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.